Almost December, what's going on? This is so crazy. But then I was thinking, this is like the longest year ever, right? This feels like 3 years we've lived in 1 year. So we're already into Thanksgiving this coming week, and if you're going away for Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful time. If you're staying here for Thanksgiving, I hope you have a wonderful time. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we, in the Lord? And we're gonna be thankful today for the Lord and for each other as we celebrate that together today. But let's just dig into the Lord. You know, today is a day where we can forget about all the craziness in our lives, all the craziness in the world, and we're going to dig into the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is life-giving. The Word of God is refreshing. When you go through the week, you just kind of get beaten down. You go a little bit emptier and a little bit emptier because that's not refreshing. Here we are, and we have an opportunity. So I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Whatever, how many minutes we have, try to really focus and zero in on the Word of God. Try to zero in and focus on God Himself, because this is going to feed our souls. This is going to refresh us today. Whatever else is out there is not going to do it. That's where we fight the battles, but here is where we fill up. So let's get filled up today in the Lord. Our Torah portion is Toldot, which means generations. In this parsha, we see the line of descendants continue. We've been reading about Abraham. Abram became Abraham. We've been reading, now we're reading about Isaac. And then this week, we start talking about Jacob. Of course, Jacob and Esau. God's continuing His plan. No matter what's going on in the world, God continues moving along in His plan. I don't care what's going on outside. There was a lot going on in the world back then, and there's a lot going on today. God is still working on and continuing His plan. This was happening. His plan was to bring forth a unique people, the Jewish people. And try as the enemy might, over the last 4,000 plus years, he has not extinguished God's plan. The Jewish people are still around. We're still around all countries. We're back in Israel, and God continues His plan. And ultimately, through the Abrahamic covenant that we spoke about a few weeks ago, the plan was and always was supposed to be a blessing for the entire world. It doesn't stop with just the Jewish people, one of the 70 nations at that time. It continues on. And through the Messiah, Yeshua, we know God continues His plan even today. Turn with me to Psalm 54. We're going to start in verse 2 of Psalm 54. I'm not going to start in the Torah portion because I want to set us up. But this portion, you know, there's a lot going on. We've got the famous stories of the birth of Esau and Jacob. That's pretty intense. We're going to read sort of about that today. We also see the blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob. The blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob. And the thing that really caught my eye, you know, I always say, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? What do we need to hear today? And the thing that caught my eye was none of those things, really. The thing that the Lord really impressed upon me was there's a lot of prayer going on in this Torah portion. I don't know if you noticed that, but we're going to talk about that today. Psalm 54, verse 2. Oh God, hear my prayer and give ear to the words of my mouth. The Psalms are full of words of prayer. In fact, the word prayer in the Bible, in Old and New Testament, all the covenants and everything, the word prayer is used 121 times, so it's a lot. People are praying a lot. Prayer is talked about a lot. We should understand what it is, and we should really zero in on it, because in these chapters, we see prayer. We see the prayers of Isaac. We see the prayers of Rebekah. We see that God listens to our prayers. We see that God reveals His will when we pray. And we see that it's important to pray not for our will to be done, but for God's will to be done, because that's how things happen. Many times we learn what not to do from these characters in the Bible, and many times we learn what to do. And we should look to their example of prayer, because prayer is vital for our lives. It was vital to the people back then, and it is like super vital to your life and my life today with everything that's going on. So let's dig in today. Let's go to Genesis 25. Now, towards the beginning of our portion. Actually, we're going to go to verse 21. We're going to start in verse 21 of 25. We saw in last week's portion, Isaac and Rebekah get married. And it's just a wonderful thing. You know, God finally gave Abraham and Sarah a child, the child of the promise, Isaac. I mean, they waited and waited and waited. And there was a problem. Sarah was barren, but God miraculously gave Isaac to them. And he grows up, and then Abraham's like, we talked about this last week, what do? I've got to get a wife for my son so this blessing, so this plan can continue. And the servant of Abraham goes back to Nahor, where Abraham was, and gets a wife, and it is Rebekah. Just as Sarah was barren, here goes the barrenness again. We have Rebekah is now barren. And I want to read Genesis 25, 21 to start us off. So Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, back then in the Middle East, in the Near East, in the ancient world, if you were barren, you had problems because everything was about the next generation. Everything was about furthering the line. Everything was about the tribes, the villages, the groups of people. And Abraham miraculously and Sarah got pregnant with Isaac. And then again we see Rebekah was barren. And so Isaac is praying, and what does he do? He prays, and prayer itself is so powerful and so misunderstood. It was back then, and it is today. Why do we pray? Why did Isaac pray? I mean, he could have just said, Lord, you know what you're doing. You've got this promise going on. You have this covenant with my dad. He's been telling me all about it ever since I was born. And I know this is going to happen, so let me just sit back and wait because I know you're going to do it. No, he prayed. Why should we pray? We pray to thank God. We pray to praise God. We pray to listen to God. And we pray to ask God. Many times we pray to ask God. Prayer is trying to communicate and connect with the God of all creation, the God of all eternity. And how amazing is it that the God of all eternity, the one that created you and I, the one that is like creating stars and galaxies out there, listens to our prayers when we pray. And he does. I'm going to give you a couple examples. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. The word used, as you turn there, the word used in Genesis 25, 21, when Isaac prayed, the word for prayer is athar in Hebrew. And it doesn't mean just to ask God. It means to entreat God. It means to plead with God. This is what Isaac was doing when he was praying for Rebekah to have a child. Many people say, I pray, but God doesn't answer me. I pray, but God doesn't seem to be listening. Have you ever said that? Don't raise your hand. I mean, have you ever thought that? Maybe you thought that. When the prophet Daniel was in Babylon, he was doing this praying, this fervent praying. And what does he say? He's praying for Israel. He's praying for his people who are in exile because of their sin. I mean, this is a bad spot that the people of Israel are in. And Daniel is fervently praying for Israel. And this is what happens. Daniel 9:23. At the beginning, this is what the angel comes and says to Daniel. At the beginning of your pleas, not prayers, they're pleas, for mercy, a word went out. And I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Now, I'm reading from the ESV translation when I read Bible verses. The NIV translation says, instead of at the beginning of your pleas, the NIV says, as soon as you began to pray. As soon as Daniel began to pray, God summoned the angel to go and see Daniel. It didn't seem like that to Daniel, but that's what happened in the heavenlies. That's what happened out there in heaven. Another example, turn back to Genesis. Go to Genesis 24, 15. This is last week's portion. In last week's portion, when Abraham wanted to get a son wife for his son Isaac, he sends his servant Eliezer. He sends him over to where he's from. And Eliezer is praying. He's praying just like Daniel prayed. He's praying just like Isaac prayed. In fact, the Hebrew used in Genesis 24:15 is athar again, the pleading. Genesis 24:15. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. So it's not, you know, in Daniel, it says, just as you began praying and entreating God, I'm summoning my angel to go to you, and I'm hearing your prayer, and we're dealing with it. In this scripture, it's even before he finishes that Rebekah comes down. Now, as I said with the Torah for Today group that I had last week, Rebekah had to leave her house, get the water jugs, come all the way down to the well. That takes a little bit of time. Now, listen, have you ever been with somebody that likes to pray a lot? I don't know how long you have ever been with somebody when they're praying for you. The longest I've ever been when somebody was praying for me was 90 minutes. 90 minutes. I mean, it was a good prayer. But like at minute 27, I was like, okay, Lord, I'll just, you know, and they had a lot to say. 90 minutes. I don't think Eliezer prayed for 90 minutes. I think he was praying, he was pleading with God, and then even, it might have been even before he started praying, Rebekah comes out. At that very minute, she comes out because the Lord prompted her to do it. So God is working when we pray. God is working even before we pray. We have to know that. Point number one this morning is God listens to our prayers. God listens to our prayers. He hears your prayer when you pray it. But listen, prayer is an act of faith. When we're praying for something, we don't see the angel being summoned. You don't see Rebekah coming out from her house. He couldn't have seen that. You have to pray in faith. You have to pray knowing God is listening. Prayer is an act of faith. We're praying for something that has not happened yet. We're praying for something that needs to change in our lives or the lives of our loved ones. We have to pray in faith, trusting God. Now, this is not the, what do we call it, the name it and claim it thing. That's not what prayer is about. That's a perversion of prayer. When we're praying, we have to pray in faith that God hears us. God listens to righteous, honest, and heartfelt prayers. Now turn back with me to Genesis 25. We're going to start with verse 20. We read how God quickly responded when Daniel prayed, when Eliezer prayed. But that doesn't always happen, does it? It doesn't always happen that when you pray, the angel is like summoned. Rebekah is coming down. I don't know about you, but it doesn't always happen for me. There is usually a time lag between when I'm praying for something and asking God and entreating God and pleading with God for when it happens, right? Anybody else have that delay in time? It doesn't always happen. We don't get the answers always right away, but how quickly we lose our faith when the prayers aren't answered, right? How quickly we say, oh, maybe that wasn't God. Maybe he doesn't want that for me. Maybe that's not the right thing I should be praying about. Well, we have to pray in faith. Check this out. Genesis 25, verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aram. How do you say that? Thank you. Of Padan Aram. You know, it's funny. You could practice that. You can have that down. When you get up here in front of people, blah, 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 what's my name? The sister of Laban, the Aramean. Thank you. To be his wife. Genesis 25, 20. Here's the point I wanted to make. Isaac was 40 years old when he started praying. Now turn down to verse 26. Afterward, his brother came out. This is Jacob's brother. His brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Now, unless that was a 20-year conception to birth, which it wasn't, it was 9 months, right? You can do the math how long Isaac was waiting for the prayer to be answered. 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife. It's not like today where they say, well, you know what? Let's wait about 10 years. I want to start my career, you know, blah, blah, blah. That didn't happen back then. It was immediate. They were trying to have a baby. I'm telling you, that's how it worked in the ancient world. 20 years he was praying for her to have a baby. 20 years. Nothing happened for 20 years. How long have you been praying for that thing? How long have you been praying for a family member? How long have you been praying for a job, for a situation to change, for whatever you have that you're praying for? And we all have things we're praying for. Don't lose faith. Prayer is an act of faith, and we need to wait for the angel to be summoned. Wait for Rebecca to come out from the house. We need to wait. We need to not be discouraged, but we need to keep praying. Okay, now Genesis 25, let's read. I want to read again verse 21, but we're going to go from 21 to 23. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Verse 22, the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it is thus, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Verse 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples are within you from within shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. So in verse 21, Isaac is praying, right? And in verse 22, we see Rebecca praying. She went to inquire of the Lord. Now, in Jewish commentary, they'll say, well, she goes down and asks the priest or somebody to pray for her. Okay, whatever happened, she was going to the Lord. She was beseeching God. She was seeking God. And I always think, you know, remember Hannah, Samuel's mother, when she was barren as well, right? A lot of characters in the Old Testament were barren. A lot of the patriarchs and different people. She was praying without words. It was, you could hear, you know, the heart cry. Eli, the priest, the high priest at the time, thought she was drunk because she was praying without words. But she was seeking God in her brokenheartedness. Rebecca is praying here. She went to inquire of the Lord. Now, prayer is many things, but prayer is not what I'm about to tell you what prayer is, okay? So we have to understand what prayer is and what prayer isn't. I'm pretty much can guarantee you 100% prayer is not the following formula. I pray for something I want. God hears my prayer. God gives me what I want. Did you see that? Wouldn't it be great if that was what it was? I pray for something I want, emphasis on want. God hears my prayer. God gives me what I want. Beautiful. If that was prayer, if that was always how prayer works, then God would not be God. He would basically be a genie granting you wishes. Unlimited wishes, right? Isaac prayed. Rebecca did get pregnant. She did conceive. But what happened next was not planned. I can guarantee you, either Isaac nor Rebecca prayed for what was going to happen next. They wanted a child. They wanted someone that was going to continue the line. They wanted somebody that was going to continue on with the promise that they had gotten from Father Abraham. Well, what happened next, nobody expected. Have you ever heard the old adage, be careful what you pray for? Two kids, twins. The older will serve the younger. This was an unheard of concept in the ancient world. Ultimately, when we pray, we have a thought about how it should go, right? I pray, I want this, God, or I need this. Forget the wants. Lord, I want this. My heart's right. I want this, God. I need this in my life. This has got to happen. This is what you promised, whatever, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. Many times we pray that, but it doesn't always end up. You don't always get what you pray for. You get what God wants to happen, not necessarily what you want to happen. But when we pray, we should understand that it's not our will, it's God's will that has to be done. That's point number two this morning. God reveals his will when we pray. The point doesn't say God reveals our will, God answers our prayer. That's too simplistic of it. It's not about our will, it's about God's will. God reveals his will when we pray. Rebecca went to God and inquired of God. And God answered her. He told her right away, this is what's going to happen. I'm sure she didn't really want to hear that or wasn't expecting to hear that. But it's about God's will and not necessarily our will. Warren Wiersbe is quoted as saying, true prayer means being concerned about God's will and not our wants. I think too many times when we pray, we're concerned about our wants. Maybe even in a good way, you know, maybe even in a heartfelt, honest way. But we need to be concerned with God's will, not our will. Turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verse 36. In Mark chapter 14, Yeshua is praying. And he's praying in this garden called Gethsemane, right? And he's praying just before he's to be taken to ultimately be killed, to be crucified. And here is what Yeshua says in his prayer, Mark 14, 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. There's that faith. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Yeshua knew what was going to happen, but he had come to do God's will, not his will. He wanted God's result, not his result. Far too often when we pray, we just want our result. But it's, Lord, may it be what you want. May it be your will. But ultimately, God's will is for our good. We have to know that. We have to believe that. God's kingdom purposes are for us to be connected with God, to have a relationship with God. And God wants all these things. He wants our good, but he may not answer us the way we want, and he may not do it according to our will, but he's going to do it according to his will. And I love this scripture. I probably quote it way too often, but I love it, so we're going to hear it again. 1 Kings chapter 19, and I think I quote it a lot because it's extremely powerful, and it can be applied definitely in this situation. Many times when we pray, go to 1 Kings 19:11. Many times when we pray, we're not just saying, you know what, God, everything's going great. Let's just talk about this one thing. No, many times when we go to God and we pray, it is the athar prayer. It is the pleading prayer. It is the, I'm crying out to you because I've got serious problems in my life. There's illness, there's issues, there's relationship problems, there's whatever. We're not just praying because everything's great. And the prophet Elijah was praying at a dark time for him, at a very depressing time. I think Elijah probably had depression. He was probably in depression at this point because he goes into the wilderness. He's really down. Nothing is going the way he wanted it to go, but it's going the way God wanted it to go. 1 Kings chapter 19, 11 and 12. And he said, God said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. I quote these verses a lot because I think these verses really speak to what's going on in our prayer lives sometimes. When we pray, we want the strong winds to happen. We want the earthquakes. We want God to like part mountains to answer our prayer, don't we? We want the fires raging. We want the lightning bolt answers when we pray. But God frequently gives us the whisper answers. And if we're not listening, we're going to miss God's answer. And if we're so focused on our will and doing it our way and thinking about, well, I can't wait till God connects the dots and gives me this that I've been praying for, we're going to miss what God is saying to us. Another Wiersbe quote, the entire book of Genesis emphasizes the sovereignty of God and the wisdom of his delays. God is wise. He's wiser than you and me. He's wiser than Solomon ever was. And sometimes God delays things. Maybe he's not answering right now because we're not ready for what he's going to tell us. Maybe he's not answering right now because he wants us to cry out to him more. Maybe he's not answering us right now because he wants to teach us something by waiting. And maybe things still need to be put in place and they're not ready yet. God goes and he goes and prepares things for you and I. He prepares things for when he does answer the prayers. Maybe you're praying something and it's not ready yet. It's not right. The fruit's not ripe. And you know what happens when you eat fruit that's not ripe? It doesn't taste very good. It's good for really nothing. You throw it out. We've got to wait until everything is ripe. Abraham waited 24 years to have Isaac. He didn't like waiting, I'm sure. At one point he said, why can't Ishmael be the one? Why can't you just give the promise to him already? That's what he said. Isaac waited 20 years. Remember, and this is coming in this Torah portion, you may have already read it. Remember when he tries to give Esau the blessing instead of Jacob? Now, I wonder if he knew what God said to Rebekah or not. He may have not. But Isaac was still wanting the blessing to go to Esau and not Jacob. The children of Israel waited 230 years in Egypt for deliverance because the land wasn't ready for them to go in. Why? We read that the sin of the Amorites had not reached its peak yet. Why? Because God's merciful. He was giving those people more time to repent, and they didn't, and then it was time. But it took 430 plus 40 years. And then speaking of 40 years, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses wandered for 40 years prior in his wilderness as a lowly shepherd. It wasn't time. God was still probably having to purge out Moses from Moses so he could be the most humble man, as it says in the Word. I don't know if he would have been the most humble man if God had answered his prayer and done something, or God had put things into motion before 40 years when he saw the burning bush. He might not have been ready, and you may not be ready today. But we need to go to God still. We need to entreat him. We need to wait on him. We need to keep the faith. We need to be open, because he may answer us in a way we don't expect. But ultimately, like we talked about, it's for our good. All right, now go to Genesis 25. We're going to start in verse 27. Read two verses, 27 and 28. When the boys grew up, these are the two boys in the womb, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Verse 28, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Okay. Whenever I read that verse, it's like, uh-oh. Right? Playing favorites. Isaac and Rebekah had both prayed for children, and they clearly had their favorites. Many times when we pray, we have no idea how it's supposed to go. We have our end goal in sight, but God has his end goal in sight. But even when we know God's end goal, we try to force things to our goals, don't we? We try to force the timing. We try to force the outcome. I mean, if you've never done that, let's talk afterward. You could tell me how you handle these things. Isaac may or may not have known what God told Rebekah. There's a lot of commentary that talks about this that tends to make me think he did know, because in a lot of the commentaries, they talk about how Isaac wanted to give two blessings. Let me just give one to Esau, and then I'll give one to Jacob. But I love Esau. So we may know the outcome, but maybe we want to put our will into it a little bit, because he clearly loved Esau. Now let's get to Rebekah, Genesis 27:5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. This is when Isaac takes Esau and said, I'm about ready to die. Go out, fix me some really, really wonderful Brazilian barbecue, right? That's what he told him. Is anybody eating a Brazilian barbecue? Just give me some of that wonderful meat, right? And then bring it back to me. I'm going to bless you. And Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it. Now, there's also a lot of commentary on this verse. There's a lot of talk about what Isaac was thinking, what Rebekah was thinking, what even Jacob was thinking, and I'm not even going to get into that, but I will tell you that the Chumash, which is Jewish, you know, rabbinical talk, the Chumash uses the words in relation to Rebekah, the uses the words scheming and deception. That is never how we want God to think of us when we pray, when we hope for things. Scheming and deception. But many times we do this. We, just like Isaac, just like Rebecca, we want God to maybe give us this, even though we understand it's this, but can you work this in? You know, this would really be nice if you did this, God. We kind of bargain with God. We kind of say these things. And in Rebecca's case, because of all the scheming, because of all the deception, what happened? Jacob got the blessing, but then he had to leave. He had to flee from Esau. He was scared for his life. And he had to leave Israel, the land of promise, for 20 years. Who knows what would have happened if Rebecca had not been scheming? You know, if she would have just said, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I believe and I trust you. I'm just going to let this go, and I'm just going to watch, you know, because God is a God of miracles. God can stop Esau. God could, like, help him wait so long. Maybe he doesn't catch anything, find anything that day. I don't know. God could work it out. But by us pushing and trying to connive and do all these things to make it happen, we delay sometimes God's blessing. We maybe have to take a detour in our lives because of what our decisions are. And I think this is what really happened with Jacob. If we're not careful, that can very easily happen in our prayer life with working it out in our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. You know, when Yeshua was teaching his disciples, teaching his Talmidim how to pray, he put this verse in, the model prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, is basically kind of like a template. You start off praising God. We don't start off out of the get-go with prayer saying, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. We start out thanking God for who he is, praising him, glorifying him. This is his rightful place. That's how we approach the Holy One of Israel. That's how we approach our Creator. And then it goes on, and in Matthew 6:10, Yeshua says to them, this is what you pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as it is in heaven. Point number three this morning. When we pray, we need to pray God's will be done. We have got to work that into the prayer, okay? Because inevitably, you and I are praying for things that we want to occur. We could do that all day long until we're hoarse. But I think it's always a good thing to pray God's will be done, as Yeshua showed us in the model prayer. Yeshua said, your will, not my will. It's okay to pray for things. It's okay to say, God, I really feel this on my heart, just like Daniel did, just like Eliezer did. But we have to move with God. We have to move and pray with God. In these chapters, we really see a lot of what to pray and how to pray and also how not to pray. Isn't that wonderful how the Bible tells us how to do it and also how not to do it? A lot of times it's how not to do it. Don't do what this guy did. Don't do what this person did. But sometimes it's do what they did. So we see a lot of prayer here. And the questions for us today is, are we bringing our request to God? Because you have to bring your request to God. That's point one. God listens to our prayers when we pray them. Number two, are we listening for his will? Not just talking. You know, sometimes when you have a relationship with somebody, they just talk and talk and talk and talk. And after a while, you're like, I got to go, you know? That's not a relationship. That's just somebody talking at you. You know, you could just watch a video and have somebody talk to you. But are we listening for God's will, the other person in the relationship? That's point two. God reveals his will when we pray. This is the connection thing. We pray, God speaks to us about his will. And number three, are we working for or against God's will for our lives? Point three, we need to pray God's will be done. How many times have people prayed and they're praying outside of God's will? You're praying against what God really wants. But if we tune in to God, if we press into his heart, we understand what he wants, it becomes what we want, and then we're praying together. And then when we're praying with God, not against God. Boy, you're never going to win that when you're praying against God. It's never going to happen. One more scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 37, verse 4. This is an interesting verse, and it's, I think, a misunderstood verse, because remember, a perversion of prayer is, give me what I want, please give it to me, and he gives it to you, right? That's not That's not prayer. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is communication. Prayer is a two-way thing with God. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that verse. But that it does not mean God's just going to give you whatever you ask for. That's not what the verse means. What does it mean? When we pray, when we connect with God, we grow closer to God. We learn about what God desires. It's like any relationship. When you get to know somebody, you learn what they like and what they don't like. And then you do the things that they like to continue to foster. It works on both ways. When we pray, when we press into God, when we learn about what God wants, when we learn about his heart, what do we start doing? We start thinking like God thinks. Important things to God miraculously become important things to us. And non-important things to God miraculously become not so important to us in the scheme of things. Whatever you spend the majority of your time and energy on, you need to ask yourself, is this what's important to God in my life? Or is it what's not important to God? Now listen, I'm not saying you got to like pray 23 of the 24 hours of the day and you know, not do anything fun. That's not what I'm saying. But when we press in, important things to our Creator and our Father become important things to us. And what happens in our prayer life is we literally start praying God's will, and it becomes our will. So when it says he will give you the desires of your heart, it's his heart. And you're working with God. It's two people in a close relationship. We become so connected with God, we care about the things God cares about. Our heart becomes his heart. His heart becomes our heart. And that is reflected in our prayers. So really, the question for us today is, where are we? Where are you? Where am I in our prayer life today? And that is a tough question to answer sometimes, because many times the first thing to go when we're busy, the first thing to go when we're stressed is prayer. But it should be the first place that we go when things are going on in our lives. We should stop, and everybody is guilty of this. We should stop. We should say, God, I need just 5 minutes. God, I just need to refocus with you. God, what do you want in this situation? Let's all stand together. We're going to close our service. And as we close, we're going to close with a blessing, special blessing from number 6. And then after the blessing, we'll turn off the live streaming. And as we're preparing for giving thanks and having a wonderful meal together, if you need prayer, if you have, maybe your prayer life is not so great, maybe you need prayer about something, maybe you need to pray with somebody, we'll have a couple of prayer lines here. I'll have the elders come down and we'll pray with you. So we'll just take a few minutes and we'll pray. But the question is, where are you with your prayer life? Could it be better? Hint, the answer is yes, it could be better. Everybody's prayer life could be better. But do we need some prayer together today? So I would encourage you and urge you, if you need prayer, if you want to get back on the tracks, if you feel like you need some encouragement in prayer today, come down as soon as we finish this blessing and get prayed for today. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Yivrechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yar Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha. Yes, Adonai, panav alecha, v'yasim lecha, shalom, b'shem Yeshua, HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May you have a blessed week, a prayerful week, and may the Lord go before you this week. And please stay.